Jeremiah chapter 4, though, as you stand to your feet, I want to ask you to stand to your feet. Ask my wife to get my water. I don't know where it's at, but I know she pumped it back there a little bit ago, but I think it disappeared. But in Jeremiah chapter 4, as I said, we've been preaching on the sins of a nation. And this morning we started the message on the destruction of the family. That is one of the things that the devil is trying to destroy is your family. And if you don't think so, friend, you're sadly mistaken. You're sadly deceived if you don't think Satan is trying to destroy your family and every other family that there is. Read with me this tonight in Jeremiah chapter 4. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then thou shalt not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth and judgment and righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. And we looked over in Jeremiah chapter 12, where they had been swearing by Baal that he was alive. But the Lord said, if they'll swear by me, if they'll come and swear that in truth and in judgment and righteousness that I'm alive, he said, I'll and bless themselves. He said in verse 3, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go in the defense cities. Set up the standard towards Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The lion has come up from his thicket, the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy city shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. For this gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. You can be seated tonight, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you again for, Lord, just the songs that's been sung tonight. And we just pray now that it's the preaching hour. Lord, we don't want to do anything out of the way tonight. Don't want to say anything out of the way, but say everything that needs to be said. And God, we just pray tonight that you'd keep the devil at bay and keep him far away. And that from our thoughts and minds and from this message tonight, we pray folk in that might find help from the Word of God. And Lord, we just pray and ask if there's somebody here that's lost, that they'd come and get saved. Lord, that you'd just afflict their heart and squeeze on it tonight. Lord, show them that they're lost and they need to trust you. God, we just ask tonight now that you'd give us liberty. God, while we stand to preach, and thank you for each one that's here tonight, might they receive a blessing from the service. Lord, give us boldness and courage to preach what thus saith the Word of God is. We'll give the glory for it all tonight. Save that sinner's nearest tale for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and pray. Amen. As we look in Jeremiah chapter 4, as the Lord is telling the nation of Israel to get right, he is telling them that they need to return unto him. They had got away from God, and destruction, you see, destruction was coming. No doubt judgment was on the way. And we've seen this this morning and dealt with these verses right here. He told them to put away the abomination out of my sight, and then thou shalt not remove. God had gave them a promise. If you'll get right with me, I'll not remove you out of the nation. But you have to realize and know that there is a payday, and that's kind of a bad terminology that Baptists use, but there is coming a reaping day for sin. You know that, Galatians 6:9, for God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also be not deceived. God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so we know tonight that if folk want to sow in sin and play in sin, we know that there's coming a payday somewhere down the road. Amen. And so we've seen this morning, I talked about the sins of a nation, and we've seen about abortion, we've seen about drunkenness, but now we're looking at the destruction of the family. And we looked about how that the Lord instituted the family, how He commended the family, and how that He even used the marriage between a man and a woman as His relationship to Him and His church tonight. What did He say? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. I'm glad that there was a sacrificial love given for me at Calvary. Thank God for that tonight. Are you excited about what Jesus has done at Calvary? I hope that you are. You may not be excited about this message, but I tell you tonight, you can be excited about what Christ done for you. Amen. Listen, you need to be careful. We looked about being careful about who you marry and who you let your children and that run with. We looked at the order of the home, how the home needs Jesus in it. Hey, your home won't work good without Jesus. Amen. Hey, it can't work good without Jesus. I'm determined. He's the reason that me and my wife have stayed together is because of Him. Amen. Hey, because of His grace that He's been able to give to us, listen, we have made this thing work all these years, amen. And listen, if you've been married any time at all, you understand that. Hey, without Christ in the middle of it, it won't work at all. And boy, I'm glad that He's in the middle of my home. But I want you to look right here. We also not only talked about how that He needs to be in the home. And well, when He's in the home, there's love. But then there's order in that to the home. How He set it up. How the husband is the head of the wife. He's to be the head of the home. How that He's the work. How that mom is to rule the home. And then the children come. And how you to train them up. And so we look at the importance of the home. But tonight, as we're preaching on the sin of a nation and the destruction of a family, we come to point number two tonight on the unimportance of marriage. Do you know that people don't hold marriage in high esteem anymore? They'll say, well, preacher, we're just going to try it out. We're going to shack up for a little. Well, they don't use the word shack up, but that's what they're doing when they just live together and want to try. Well, preacher, this morning, well, we just want to know if it's going to work. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, get on your knees, seek God, go to church together, get in His book, and you can find out if it's going to work or not. Hebrews chapter 13, I go back to it again tonight. Marriage is honorable and honorable, bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Nobody takes that verse true anymore. Nobody believes that God is going to judge adulterers and whoremongers. Hey, that's what's happening when folk are just shacking up together. Yep. That's all you can call it. Friend, you can say, well, we're going to get married. We're going to do this. Why don't you get married? Amen. I mean, I'm just being honest tonight and being very plain. Listen tonight, shacking up don't work, especially inside the church. Amen. Hey, if I allowed that to happen in here and went on and patted folk on the back and said, come on back, we are glad to have you. But I tell you, you do need to get in. I don't know how you worship God like that. Amen. I don't know how you could. If I allowed those things to happen, a friend, you ought to just run me off and them too. Amen. Just being honest tonight. I'm just being honest. Listen, folk, they see no importance of marriage, even though the Lord was the one that instituted and that the very first marriage and in marriage itself. Well, preacher, we aim to get married, but we want to make sure that it is a good fit. He said marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled. But when you're living like that, the bed is defiled and you are a whoremonger. And so God is going to judge that thing. That is one destruction of the home tonight is folk don't want to be married. But for whatever reason, they're afraid to take them vows. As we talked about this morning, me and my wife finally figured out what that other vow was, for better or worse. Out of all the ones that we couldn't remember this morning, Zach, we remembered for richer or poor in sickness and in health, but we couldn't remember for better or worse. Amen. And listen, that's what it is. And folk are afraid. Hey, I'm going to tell you something tonight. Hey, listen to me, young ladies and young men. If somebody's not willing to marry you, they're probably not willing to stay with you. Amen. Amen? Amen. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm going to deal with divorce here in a minute. But listen, it's almost like joining a church. I think folk ought to join a church. Say, boy, this is where we want to be at. This is where we want to worship at. This is where we want to give our money at. I mean, that's how it works. Amen. Am I doing okay tonight? All right, just making sure here. So shacking up or trying it out. The devil loves that. And the devil loves it when the church just turns a blind eye to it also. Well, they'll get married, preacher. Well, they might. They might not. And let me say tonight to you young folk sitting across the house that is not married, you need to be careful who you give your heart to. Very careful. Because you'll give your heart to this one, and give your heart to that one, and your heart to this one, and your heart to that one. And before you know it, when it's time to get married, there's very little bit of your heart to give away anymore. Now, you may think that's a little silly tonight, but that's the truth. Amen. Wait on God to point out that mate for you tonight. Amen. If you'll wait on God, it'll go so well. It'll work every time. Amen. And listen, God, and I know things go bad in marriage and so on and so forth like that, that people can get prideful. I'm going to do that here in a minute. But listen, just wait on God and He'll help you tonight. But the unimportance of marriage, shacking up or trying it out, but then adultery, the stepping outside of marriage. Listen, you know that Hollywood, and we talked about Hollywood this morning, but Hollywood acts as if it's no big deal. Adultery's a big deal, friend. It really is. I mean, when I took those vows, when I got married, I believe I said to have and to hold from this day forward. I believe you said that too. I believe it. The same vows I said you said, son. I'll guarantee you that. You know, the Bible said in one of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, as Moses was laying them out there to the children of Israel, one of them was, thou shalt not commit adultery. In other words, a man or a woman who stepped outside the bonds of marriage and that with another person to fulfill their physical desires with that person. Listen, Leviticus chapter 20 said, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. So that tells us what God thinks about adultery. God hates it. God hates adultery. Now, I'm glad God forgives things, and I'm glad that He did, because we see that in John 8 over there. When that woman was brought to Him, that was caught in the very act of adultery. Oh, what did He tell her? Or what did He tell those men standing around her that was going to condemn her? They had rocks in their hand. And He said, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. And beginning at the greatest to the least, I began to drop their stones and turn away. And when Jesus looked at her, he said, a woman, where hast thou thine accusers? And she said, I have none, Lord. And He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So she had been caught in sin. But He said, go sin no more. Now, I'm glad there's forgiveness for it, but we learn what God thinks about this thing because He said that the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. You know, during that time in John 8, Jesus was riding on the ground, and the Bible said that He acted as though that He did not hear them. And a lot of people have talked about what He might have been riding on the ground. Some believe He wrote, for justice called and mercy answered. He might have, I don't know. Personally, I believe that He was writing the book of Deuteronomy. Because what did they do? They said, we took the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. Where was the man in John chapter 8? See, I almost think that's what Jesus wanted to know. Where was the man? Now, I'm talking about the unimportance of marriage. If your marriage is important to you, then you will not step outside of it. Because you understand what it's going to do to you. You understand that it's going to bring a block. You understand that, friend, that it's going to bring something that cannot be done away with.
What was it the Bible talks about? I believe it was in the book of Proverbs over there when it talks about can a man take fire in his bosom to not get burned? And he said, so it's the same that a man goes unto his neighbor's wife. He says he'll get a blot and a reproach that cannot be wiped away, and his shame can't be done away with. Your wife or your husband may not ever find out, but you'll know about it. It'll always play in your mind. Well, it's just a one-time thing, preacher. How could you ever... I'm just going to be honest from the fleshly side. And God does give grace, and I know the Lord to do this for certain people. But when a man or a woman has stepped outside the home, stepped outside that marriage bound, and out with another man or another woman, that God does give grace and to that other spouse to forgive them and their life go on as if nothing never happened. It would have to be God's grace, wouldn't it? Because in the flesh, I don't think I could do it. But by God's grace, I worked with a lady, and a good Christian lady, and her husband got to stepping out there, and she fought for her marriage. She fought for it. She wanted to keep it together. I don't know what all she done. I don't know if she went and whooped that other woman or not, but I know she fought for it. I really don't know. The story always was that she did, but I don't know if she did or not. She was a scrappy girl. I mean, she might have done it. But I know one thing, that she loved her husband and she wanted to keep her marriage together. And so she was willing by God's grace and that to forgive his indiscretion of going outside the home and doing something that he should not have. But see, even I know about that. And see, that's something that not only do they have to carry, but it's something that's known. You see what I'm saying? That sin somehow slips out and folk knows what's going on. Something that's known, you see. So you have to carry that all the time. You have to wonder if people's looking at you and is that what they're thinking about? In Galatians chapter 5, when Paul talks about the very first work of the flesh, he said, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And the very first one is what? Adultery. So you must guard your preacher. It'll never happen to me. You're already on the road to downfall. You have to guard your eyes and guard your mind and guard your ears. As I've told you many times, that story of the fellow that I work with, he had a lady where a woman working on his line there. And she'd come in every morning now knowing that he's married and she'd begin to fix his collar and say, boy, if you was my husband, I'd fix this and have you ready to go in the morning, have you something to eat and all these things. You better watch her. Amen. Proverbs 7 talks about her. She's a strange woman. Hey, listen, it happens the same thing to men. Listen, knowing that somebody is married and trying to get you, there's something wrong with that situation. But not only does, now I'm talking about the destruction, the sin of a nation, the destruction of a home. Nobody cares about, it seems, that nobody cares about the bonds of marriage anymore. And so that leads us in that to divorce. Take your Bible and look in Matthew chapter 19. Somebody said the leading cause of divorce is marriage. Did y'all catch that right there? I believe Matthew 19 is where I need to be. It's roughly 50%, give or take a little bit. However, you know, if you trust the statistics, and you might as well, that we got what we got, and that's even with inside the church, it seems. In Matthew chapter 19, I believe we find in verse 4. Now, I know some of you have been through divorce, and I'm not here to beat you up about that, because no doubt that was a hard time in your life. But what I'm preaching on tonight is the destruction of the family, and divorce is destruction of the family.
And he answered and said unto them, look at verse 4 now, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? We looked at that this morning. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. We talked about in Genesis chapter 5, where in the creation God called them both Adam. I mean, that's what God done. He called them both Adam. Like I said, I'm Mr. Latham. This young lady sitting over here is Miss Latham. We're the same. We live in the same house. We're married. God has put us together. Verse 6, wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and put her away? And he saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts. Now you see what brought all that on? The hardness of hearts. Suffered you to put away your wives. Look at the rest of verse 8. But from the beginning, it was not so. God did not want that. God does not want that today. Verse 9, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. He said, well, preacher, the divorce is no big deal. No, it's a big deal, friend. And some of you all have suffered through that, and you would have to say, yeah, preacher, it's a big deal. Now, I don't want to know why your family ended up the way that it did and why you went through divorce. I don't care. I do care, but I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm trying to say. Now, I'm not preaching on your particular situation tonight. What I'm trying to get us to see tonight is what is ruining the home and ruining the family is when folks just walks away from it instead of trying to work on it. I know some of you worked and worked and worked, but the other side didn't want to do anything. I wanted to leave. You can't help that. You can't change that. You can't make somebody stay when they don't want to stay. What are you going to do? I mean, really? Somebody just in the middle of the night leaves and says, I'm not coming back. I don't look for me. I'll send you papers in the mail. Hey, what are you going to do with that? And I know some of you have been through that. But one of the problems with the home has been divorce. They're easy to get. Folk don't understand how to let me see how I can get this and get it right. Folk don't seem to understand how to just live together. I have to live with my wife. And she has to live with me. You know what that means? We got to live with each other. The good and the bad. What did I say? For better or for worse? Right? I've had some bad days. I mean, I've probably been, there's been times, God help me, that I've probably not been too kind to her over the years. And you know, over a period of time, listen, Zach, over a period of time, she figured out how to tell me that too. She has a sweet way to tell me that I have hurt her feelings. And then I've had to learn how to apologize. I'm going to deal with that in a minute too. Let's let me deal with that now. Adultery can cause a divorce to come about. The sexual impurity and fornication. But one of the things that happens in a home is when folk can't forgive one another. When you're just bound and determined to be in your pride and say, I was right and she was wrong, or I was right and he was wrong. Well, that may be true, but I'm going to tell you, you're about to ruin your marriage if you ain't careful. The home's about to get ruined. Listen, we're not the same. Me and her are different, by the way. As much as I carry on about us being one, hey, do you know that me and my wife, have some words every now and again? Y'all wouldn't believe that, would you? Some of you are afraid to grin right there.
He's just wondering where the preacher's going on this situation right here. Me and Miss Latham have a spat every now and again. Our home ain't the perfect home. It does have Jesus in it. Amen. And over 25 years, we have learned to say, I'm sorry. We have learned to forgive one another. You know, one of the worst things you can do is not forgive one another. Hey, when you get in that little spat, don't be bringing up, hey, Hunter, when you and Bethany get in a spat, don't bring up about how she burnt the toast last Tuesday. Amen. Or he may have burnt the toast. I said, I don't know who burnt the toast. Now she's wondering what he's told me. He ain't told me nothing. And she's wondering about the burnt toast. Listen, sometimes you just got to let things go. You just got to let it go. You say, well, I was right. Hey, let your pride go, man. Just let it go. If you want to have a good home, sometimes you just got to let things go. Let God work in the middle of it. You say, well, I'm backing up. I'm not showing who's you. Sometimes you just got to let it go. You got to figure out if you can let it go or not. You need to guard your mouth. Because I'm going to tell you, when words come out, you can't put them back in. And once they come out, and you say something hurtful, they can't unforgive what you said. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Listen, she's the one that I live with. She's the one that I lay down and go to sleep with at the nighttime. Listen, I don't want to say nothing hurtful to her. Over a period of time, she's learned how to say, hey, Mark, you're talking like a bear. Some of us need to learn how to say, I'm sorry, and others need to learn how to forgive. It'll ruin a home. Every time. The lack of spending time together ruin a home. We spend too much time with the phone in our hand. Spend too much time sitting in front of the TV. Spend too much time in front of the computer instead of spending time together. You know, they used to tell us if you sat too close to the TV, it'd make you go blind. Now we hold a phone like this. I'm just saying. We hold a phone like this constantly. You think that's right? Hey, moms and dads, you're going to have to put your... You know, me and my wife went to a restaurant here sometime back, and we watched this man and woman had two kids, had two boys, and we were watching them. We're people watchers sometimes. And we were sitting there waiting on our food to come. Me and my wife was talking, and they were across from us, back over where Miss Hannah's sitting. And we noticed the mom and dad was sitting on one side, and the two boys were sitting on the other side. And they were sitting over coloring. They was that little. They was coloring. But the mom and dad both had a phone in their hand. Now, they've come out together as a family, but yet they wasn't doing nothing. They were sitting there like this. Mom had one in her hand. The dad had one in his hand. And then boys was over coloring. That just seems strange to me. He said, well, preacher, you know, it's a new generation and all these things and all that. Listen, you need to spend some time with your family. You need to talk to them. Don't call them on the phone to talk to them when they're in the next room or text them. Go talk to them. I mean, make them kids get off their games and get off their phone and the computer and play a board game with them. Have fun. Go somewhere. Go play mini golf together. Let me put my glasses on. See these kids over here. See if they're frowning about mini golf. Caleb's sitting back there like this right here. He's ready to go play mini golf. Play checkers. Do something. My wife will no longer play checkers with me. Last time we played, she won. She wants to be the champion. But I'm serious. She won't play with me no more. Because she won. So she don't want to lose anymore. But the home's being destroyed because there is a lack of time together. Dad's working 60 hours a week, 65, 70 hours a week. I understand you got to work. I understand all that. But you just got to be careful that you're not chasing the almighty dollar, because that almighty dollar is going to ruin your home. Mom's got so much going on that she don't know where Dad's at this point. They don't see one another. They cross in the middle of the week. Maybe spend 30 minutes here, 30 minutes there, and that's all they've got. The kids are always at ball, always doing something else, doing this and doing that. I understand there's times to go do all those things. But slow down and spend some time together. I'm talking about the ruination of the home. Not only does adultery do it, not only does the lack of forgiveness, but the lack of time together is going to ruin your home. You'll turn around and you'll find yourself out of church because you've got so much. Hey, if you're too busy, come to church. I know we're here on Sunday night, and boy, I appreciate you being here, so I'm preaching to the choir on this. But I'm going to tell you, if you ever find yourself too busy, come to church, you're too busy. You need to pull back on the reins somewhere and slow down. Say, hey, we got to do something here. At least you know, you don't know how to keep your home together. Bring them to church. Amen. Come to church together. Sit on the same pew together. Amen. Love on one another together. While you're here and while you're at home. So, preacher, you're just wanting the magical family. No, I'm just wanting you to spend some time together. It sure enough help your home. It'll help your children. Let me ask you this right here. I want to ask you this question. I thought about this while I was studying. Well, what's at stake? What's at stake if you get out of church? Now, I'm talking about you personally. I'm not talking about your family getting out of church. Dads, I'm asking you, what's at stake if you get out of church? Would mom and the kids still keep coming? Now, some have proved that. There's some have proved, moms have proved that they will keep coming and bringing the kids. But then dad is out of the will of God. Let me ask you this, mom. Let me ask you, if you got out of church tonight, who would bring your children, and would your husband keep coming? Being the head of my home, let me put it to you like this. I would hope that if I ever got out, and I don't want to get out. You know me, Lord, I don't want to get out. Never been out of church. Since the day that I was born, I've never been out of church. Never. I ain't always been right with God, but I ain't never been out of church. But I wonder what my wife would do if I got out. What would your kids do if you got out? You say, well, your wife is spiritual and all this. She'd keep coming. I would hope so. But she also takes my lead, too. On some things. So dads, husbands, don't be guilty of bringing your family out of church. Amen. Don't be guilty of it. What's at stake? Your home's at stake. Your children is at stake. Your marriage is at stake. Well, I can do all those things without coming to church. You might be able to, but friend, it's way easier when you're in church. Amen. You say, well, Satan is attacking me and trying to destroy me. Then why would you want to get out of church? So maybe if I get out, then he'll ease up. He might do that, but see, he won. If you get out, he's won. What destroys the home? The destruction of the home when it gets out of order. We looked at the order this morning of how it's set up. Not only is dad to be the leader in the home, but he is to be the spiritual leader. Right? Amen. Listen, it rests on the shoulder of you. Not that mom can't do it, because that's been proved over the years where dad would not take the responsibility that somebody had to step up to the plate and do it. But God didn't set it up that way. He said, well, why God? I don't know why God set it up some different way, but I'm just telling you how he set it up, and that's how it is. I'm not changing the Word of God to suit you tonight. I'm not changing it to suit me. Hey, my home rests on my shoulders when it comes to the spirituality in my house. I'm the leader of my home. I'm the leader of my home about how we spend money. I'm the leader in my home about what happens in our home. I'm the leader of my home when it comes to the spirituality of our house. I'm the leader. And if it's bad, guess who gets blamed for it? Me.
There's going to be a lot of dads standing and husbands standing at the judgment seat of Christ, Lisa, for not leading their home like they should have. It gets out of order. Sometimes it's out of order because dad don't want to do it. Sometimes it gets out of order because mom won't let him do it. She's bound and determined to do it her way. I thought of this scripture as I studied in Isaiah chapter 3. It said, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. You know, that's the way Hollywood makes fun of the family. You ever watch some commercials or watch some of the TV and the sitcoms? They'll make fun of the order of the house if you ain't careful. They make fun about how it's set up and how it ought to be run. They always make a fool out of the dad and so on and so forth. God set it up. Hey, when it gets out of order, you know when something's out of order, it can't run right. Can't work right. You say, well, it's running. I understand it's running, but is it running right? Children telling mom and dads how the home's going to run. Wives need to learn to be submissive. Children need to learn how to get under mama and let dad lead the house. And dad, that's what you need to do. You need to lead. I'm not telling you to make your wife a doormat. We had that discussion this morning. Wives, but she's not a second-rate citizen. She's not a second, my wife's not a second-rate citizen in my home. She's not a second-rate citizen in this church, and she's not a second-rate citizen out in that world. And I'll argue with you till the day I die about that. But my home is trying to be set up on the Word of God, and I was told to be the head of it. Me and you are told to be the head of your home. Do it. Get in order. Get it in order. Set it in order. Love on them kids. Raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Bring them to church. Bring them to worship time. What some, and I don't know if it's just this past few generations or if it's always been this way, but their son just needs to grow up. Just need to grow up. They'll get in a marriage and then they act like a kid when they don't get their way. They'll pout and carry on. You ever seen a grown man do that? That's one of the stupidest looking things I've ever seen in my life, is to see a grown man pout. But I just want to go over and say, what is the matter with you? Grow up. Just grow up. I was taught how to stand on my own 2 feet long before me and Kelly ever got married. My dad taught me how to be a man. This book teaches me how to be a man and how to run home. The one thing you need to watch out for, friend, if anything, is Satan's going to try to wheedle his way in into your home. Whether it's by the TV, whether it's by one another, whether it's by your children, no matter what's by, he's going to try to wheedle his way in. You know what he's going to do? He's going to destroy it just one little chip at a time. One little chip at a time. I'd rather have a happy home. Wouldn't you? You ever seen folk didn't want to go home because of their marriage was in shambles? You ever seen that? They didn't want to go home. It was a wreck. I'm glad that I love to go home. I tell my wife all the time, even when I don't want to see nobody else, I'm glad to see her. You know? That's the way you ought to be with your wife and your children, or with your husband and your children. May not want to see nobody else, but boy, you won't see them. Huh? You know, there's going to come a day, boy, according to Revelation chapter 5, boy, we get up there in the glory. Boy, we'll be glad to see him. Be glad. The one who loved us. See, as I told you this morning, I really believe Miss Latham loves me more than anything in the world. That's why I love to go home to her, because she loves me. And I hope she loves to come home to me. But you know why I'm going to love to go home to glory one day? Because he loves me. He loves me. Hey, no, he gave himself for me. He was willing to go to Calvary
for a little old wretched boy that didn't even know nothing about him. But boy, come to a place one Sunday night and asked him to save me, and he done that. But we're going to get, before no wonder we're going to be on our knees in front of him, throwing everything that, if we've got anything left in our crowns to throw back at his feet, and that to worship him with. What a day. Let's bow our heads tonight, if we would, across the house. I don't know how your home is tonight. Mitchell, if you and Jacob will come tonight. Listen. I want you to understand Satan's trying to destroy your home. He's trying to destroy you, but he's trying to destroy your home. We're going to get ready to sing here in a minute, but if you need to come tonight, I want you to come. I want you to come. You may need to come pray for your home, for your children, for your marriage. Hey, listen, you just may need to come pray. I want you to come pray. So, preacher, I don't have that happy home that you've talked about. Well, you sure enough can fix it. Amen. You sure can. You come. Hey, listen, if it's on sitting in here talking to men and women tonight that's married, and you're sitting in here, and I know if your spouse ain't here tonight, that not everything can be fixed right now, but I'll tell you this, you can come pray. You say, I've been praying. Keep on praying. Don't turn away from praying tonight. Listen, God can help. It's amazing what one more prayer might do. Might change everything if you just keep praying. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. Lord, we thank you for the good liberty and for the message that you've given us. And Lord, we just pray now that you'd help hearts. You know what folk need. And Lord, I know that Satan tries to destroy homes. He tries to work in every way that he can. And Lord, many years ago, we determined not to even use the word divorce. Even in joking, we determined not to use that. And Lord, I pray that homes ain't there tonight. But Lord, I ask that if they some just struggling, I pray that they'd come and just seek you. Lord, there may just be some folk here with some needs tonight. I pray that they'll come and give you them needs. Most of all, there may be somebody here that's lost that don't know you. And I pray they'd get saved tonight. Would you help during this invitation while we sing, Lord? I pray you'd help for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.